Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Wednesday morning, June the 9th. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico. 103.3 FM over the air in Durango, Colorado. And, of course, streaming everywhere from our website, ksje.com. Also streaming to your smart speaker. Good morning, everybody. It's great to have you along with us this morning. Also, welcome to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. It is streaming live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. We're glad that you are here this morning as well, everyone, because coming up in the next few moments, our topic this morning is urgent care. And my guest this morning from San Juan Health Partners Urgent Care here in Farmington. Please stay tuned for that conversation beginning in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then later on this hour at 8:50 a.m., Dr. Mike Hadabaugh is going to be here, our communications professor. His topic this week is that platitudes are rarely helpful, and he will explain what that means coming up this morning a little bit later on this hour on KSJE. And that'll take us to 9:06 a.m., Roving with the Arts. It's our classical music program. Mick Hess will be here featuring more music from Shostakovich, his 9th symphony on the radio this morning, and a special 90-minute version of Roving with the Arts, because that'll take us to 10:30 in our local and regional author program right on Four Corners. Tracy Halesvass is speaking with author Jennifer Edelson this week, and she's talking about her latest book, Between Wild and Ruin. You'll hear more about that coming up today at 10:30 on Right on Four Corners here on KSJE. And don't forget, of course, when we talk about social media, you can connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or our Instagram page as well. Outside our studios here at San Juan College this morning, sunshine, current temperature 56 degrees. We are expecting another sunny and hot day today. Take a look. Sunshine, the high today 90 in Farmington, clear and 52 tonight, mostly sunny tomorrow and Friday, with a high both days of 92 degrees and overnight lows in the lower 50s. And then get ready for the real heat this weekend and on into next week. 96 for a high on Saturday and Sunday. Overnight lows mid-50s. 96 again on Monday, maybe hitting 97 by next Tuesday with an overnight low in the mid-60s. Well, with all that being said, let me turn to my guests who are joining me here in our cool studio this morning. We are grateful for that. From San Juan Health Partners Urgent Care, we want to welcome to KSJE Dr. Sabrina Schmidt is here. Good morning, Dr. Schmidt. It's good to have you here. Welcome to KSJE.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you here. Also joining us once again, Monica Nagahiro is back with us from San Juan Health Partners Urgent Care. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Nice to see you both here in the studio in person, and welcome back, Monica. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's talk a bit about urgent care, of course, and some of the things that you all have been seeing over the past, the past year, which has certainly been a unique year for all of us. And so folks continuing to come to urgent care, you are continuing to offer some types of testing at urgent care when in related to COVID?
We are, Scott. Currently we're testing for COVID, and I think San Juan County has really stepped up to the plate and come to get their tests done. We are offering an antigen testing for travel. It's $125, and you get your results within 36 hours. And you're able to come into urgent care, and we can give you a hard copy of that so that you're able to travel. There is a difference, though, that I want the community to be kind of aware of.
Right.
Is that there is some travel that is requiring a test that's called a PCR testing. And that is a test that is directly testing for the COVID virus. What we can offer is what they call an antigen test, not to be confused with antibodies. This is an antigen test, and it just tests for a protein of the COVID, and it is very accurate. And but I want people to be aware of that difference so that they don't show up at the airport and needing a PCR test versus an antigen test.
Because you can't get that in the 20 minutes it'll take you to get to your gate.
No.
I probably and be able to get on
no,
with your trip.
No, and I don't want to ruin anybody's vacation.
Sure.
Now that the country's opening up and we're all enjoying travel. I would hate to see that happen.
But that particular test is available at urgent care.
We have the antigen testing for $125 at urgent care.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they need further testing, like the PCR testing, we have the information in urgent care. People are free to call our phone number. Let us help you guide through that. It's through curative.com, and it's testing through McGee Park, and it is a simple procedure.
And that's the test we've been hearing about for weeks and weeks and weeks that happens almost daily out at McGee Park, right?
Yeah. And it is simple. It's just it's an app on the phone, and you just schedule your appointment. You drive down, and they have appointments all day long, and they're getting their results through a text message within 36 hours, and it's all on your phone, and it's ready to go.
Very good. We've really got a handle on this stuff, I think, after 13 months or however long it's been, it seems like. And we're grateful that things are reopening. As you mentioned, folks are traveling more and maybe needing some of these specific tests in order to travel. Or I think cruise lines are starting to talk about what they will allow on their trips and things along that line. So all that is good. So urgent care can help with some of these things. And of course, day in and day out, you both are dealing with folks who just show up with these maybe minor illnesses or injuries or things along that line. And of course, it's always great to remind folks the difference between urgent care and emergency care and going to the emergency department or coming to urgent care. And Dr. Schmidt, can I talk to you a little bit about some of that and what you've been seeing and maybe when folks should come to urgent care and when they should let the emergency department deal with them?
Sure.
You see everything, I bet.
We see everything.
Yeah.
Everything walks through the door. Some things should walk through the door and some things should go to the ER.
Right.
We are absolutely happy to take care of any non-emergent thing in the urgent care, UTIs, sprains, strains, work comp injuries. We take care of pink eyes, ear pain, just about anything that we would consider minor. Things that are life-threatening really should be to the ER or call 911. Simply call 911. It's the most important piece of tool that you can have at home to help yourself if you really think you are in danger. So for chest pain, for stroke symptoms, for choking, for drownings that happen. I've had two drownings come to the urgent care, where we've had to resuscitate. We've had gunshot wounds. All of those things should probably go to the ER.
Right.
By 911.
Right. And I guess many times maybe folks don't think that their injury is life-threatening, and maybe that's why they come to urgent care, and then someone like you will say, you know what, we need to get an ambulance and get you downtown.
Absolutely. We stabilize. And this is a good tie-in. We actually have physicians on at all times. And so physicians working with nurse practitioners or PAs mm-hmm. are able to stabilize the patients and get them out to the ER in a timely fashion with an ambulance on the way.
And that's an important distinction to make. Pardon me for interrupting you. But I think it's important to know that when I show up at urgent care, if I have misdiagnosed myself, that there's going to be someone like yourself, a physician who's there that can say, you know what, you think it's this, but it's really this, and it's a lot more serious than you thought, then we need to get you down to the emergency department.
Absolutely. It is so important to be able to have the knowledge that you are seeing somebody who is qualified to take care of you, who is going to make that differential diagnosis and give you the best care. And sometimes that best care isn't the urgent care. It's the emergency medicine physician who needs to take over.
Right. And again, that's an important distinction to make. And I think that our urgent care, San Juan Health Partners urgent care is only one of the very few, if the only one, that has that physician on duty all the time.
The only one.
Yeah, and that's an important distinction, I think, to make for folks and for folks to know. Monica Naga here. I know you've been working really hard to educate the public and all of us about the differences between urgent care and emergency care and things along that line. And as Dr. Schmidt was saying, I know sometimes folks may come and show up, and maybe their problem is more serious than what they thought, and then it's time to maybe get them down to the emergency department. You see a lot too?
We are seeing, and we're seeing an increasingly amount of our community showing up at urgent care, and I think there is a fear of going to the emergency room because of COVID, so that we're a little bit easier to get into, and people are wanting that. But what the important thing is we do have the resources and the means to get you to where you need to go. So if all in all, and you are afraid and you're scared and you need some advice, you need some help, come in. We will definitely make that phone call to 911 for you. We'll take great care of you while you're there. But we are open for minor injuries, lacerations. People in the public are now getting back out and being adventurous, which is amazing to see.
Also means possible patients for you.
Right. We're doing more x-rays, we're doing more sutures, but it's been, it's kind of nice to see the public out and smiling and happy and being adventurous again.
Right. And this is a great place to do it. We know that. That's why we live here. It's a great spot for all these different types of adventures. But when things don't go right, we can come see you and get us back out there. And that's important. The other thing that we hear about are that maybe folks during COVID have not kept up with their regular checkups and things like that, and going to see the doctor and what have you. And now maybe something that wasn't such a big deal if they'd gotten it taken care of is now maybe more of a big deal. Is that something that you see, Dr. Schmidt, when people are coming in to visit with you and all of a sudden you find out they haven't been to a doctor in a year and a half?
It's definitely impacting health, and so we are encouraging patients to please see your primary doctor for that routine health screening, whether it's a kids well child exam or whether it is the well adult exam. Following up for your blood pressure, it's so important. Following up for your cholesterol, following up for your diabetes, those things can't really be delayed. And in the urgent care, we don't do testing for those things, and so it's really imperative to involve that whole PCP team. And we are happy to get people to their primary, say they have trouble getting in. Often it's just a nicely placed call by us to the primary office and say, hey, I really have something that's concerning. We really need a follow-up sooner than 3 months, which is what they've been offered. And so the offices around town are fabulous to work with the urgent care and have a really great working team with them to be able to facilitate that. And San Juan Health Partners has a new system in place that we actually, if you don't have a primary, instead of utilizing the urgent care as a primary place, we can set them directly up with a new primary care physician and get them tucked into somebody who can take care of them on a long-term basis. It's working fantastic. Our urgent care front registration is actually able to set that appointment before they ever leave our clinic. So they have a new doctor in hand or a new nurse practitioner in hand.
And a date.
Usually within a week.
Wow.
Sometimes on the same or next day. It's pretty amazing what the hospital has been able to accomplish at this.
That's wonderful. And as you mentioned, I think, you know, if there is a problem or you think there's a problem or a more serious problem that maybe the doctor can check up on, or they can get that baseline or start talking with them about that issue, whatever it might be, getting them in sooner than later, maybe with a phone call from you, can be very helpful.
Yes, and oftentimes we find that patients are maybe require more immediate care, but not quite emergency care. And so we're able to make those phone calls and say, hey, I really have somebody I think that needs testing, but probably doesn't need to be in the ER. How can we get them to you? And oftentimes they'll see them within the same 24 hours and facilitate the test that we think they need, like a CT scan of their chest or head. And then it keeps them out of the ER, which decreases the patient's bill, but still gives good care.
Right.
So I love that has happened the last 6 months, probably even 3 months.
That's great.
But has been phenomenal.
Very good. And Monica Nagahiro, again, it's all about kind of trying to help that patient that walks through the door and trying to figure out where they are and what they need. And if they don't have a primary care physician, being able to hook them up with someone who has available appointments, and it's not a 3 month wait or things along that line.
I think San Juan Health Partners in general leadership really heard the community and wanted to be able to fill the gap for a lot of our patients. Navigating healthcare is so difficult when you don't do it every day. Even when you do it every day, it's still pretty difficult. But urgent care has been able to really fill that gap. We're here to help educate the community. We're available to answer questions over the phone sometimes. But really, if you come in and you do not have a primary care physician and you've been putting off your health care, we will get you directed and navigated to where you need to go, whether it be with the family medicine clinic that's across the street from the hospital, or if you have a little bit more, you're a little bit more of a complex patient, we can move you up to the internal medicine group. And
right.
We have that nice collaboration of care, and we can have a physician-to-physician conversation, mm-hmm. and we'll get you routed to where you need to be so that we can get your health care back on track and get you back out where you need to be.
Right. Very important. And again, with all these things, I mean, I think folks get kind of confused about health care because there's just so many moving parts, and it seems to be changing. There's a lot of conversations about health care, how we pay for health care. You mentioned, both of you, I think, how to keep costs for patients mm-hmm. under control, because certainly a trip to the emergency department might be a bit pricier than seeing urgent care.
For sure.
And so that's an important thing to keep in mind for a lot of folks, I'm sure. But if something's wrong, I mean, we want it fixed, at least as a patient. That's usually what I say is, just make me feel better, please.
Right. We want the right care at the right time at the right place. And that is the most cost-effective thing for the patient and the cost-effective thing for the hospital.
True.
To not see an ear infection in the ER, because that is significantly more expensive to health plans than to see somebody with ear pain in the urgent care.
Exactly. Which brings us back to that emergency care and urgent care and all those knowing the difference and when to come see you rather than sit around in the emergency department for an ear infection.
Correct.
That is probably not the best use of those resources.
Correct.
And so that is it. I want to ask you both a bit about COVID because, of course, here we are in early June. We're all very hopeful that COVID is on its way out, that we are learning to control the virus. I don't know if it'll ever be out. Maybe that's a misstatement. But it seems like we're doing a better job controlling it and managing it. And please correct me if I'm wrong, because you both are the experts here and I am not. But over the last 13 months, I would imagine neither one of you had seen anything like this in your medical careers. This has certainly been a unique experience for the world.
Monica, very unique.
Nagahiro, to manage that coming to urgent care. I mean, to try to keep patients safe while still dealing with their urgent problems.
I tell you, Scott, 20 years of nursing, I have never experienced so many highs and lows.
Right.
I've seen tremendous growth in people, and I've also seen a lot of negativity and a lot of hardships. And, you know, we find ourselves in a really awkward, unknown position. And when that happens, we strike a lot of fear in people. And we saw that in our community this year, and it was reflected in a lot of negativity. But on the other hand, we also had more people in our community that stepped up and were very positive and very supportive of our healthcare. And I couldn't express more gratitude to this community of Farmington and the surrounding areas. We had vendors from all over donate food to our healthcare workers at the urgent care. People recognize that urgent care was very important during this pandemic. We offloaded the emergency room as much as we could. Mm-hmm. We volunteered to help work at the hospital. We kept our doors open from day one of COVID all the way through. We never shut down, not one day, because we knew it was important to service our community. We had people leaving thank you notes on our cars, which I thought was incredible. We had a little girl try to draw a mural in chalk at our front doors just to say thank you. We've had schools send pictures and cards, and that encouragement keeps us going. Because I know, as a mother and a wife, COVID is making everybody very tired. Mm-hmm. And we're all tired of hearing it. We're all tired of the mandates and the protocols and the policies that change every 15 minutes. But I can tell you, it's making a difference. And we are learning how to coexist with this virus. Mm-hmm. And the vaccinations have been a huge help, huge help. I think we're starting to see a very nice decline, and we're starting to level off to where it's manageable, and we're not as scared. And every day we're getting more education, and we're understanding this volatile, awful pandemic, and we're going to get a hold of this, and we're going to come out stronger in the end. But the important thing to remember is people still are getting sick from COVID.
You're still seeing cases showing up at urgent care, aren't you? Yeah.
And it's still important to have those practices. And when they come in and you have to have your temperature and they're asking a million questions all over again, it's just to keep you safe. And it's to keep the people on the other side safe. And we're all doing our due diligence just to make it through.
Right. And it's been a learning curve during this whole time, too, because this was a new virus. And I don't think the medical community knew a lot about it. We knew what other COVID viruses were like, right? But this was a novel coronavirus. And so that means there's some new little tweaks to it that we need to figure out, at least in my non-medical knowledge.
Well, and COVID hit us more than just in our health, right? It didn't. It took over our bodies. It took over our health. But then it also took over a mental component in a lot of us because we're social animals, and we all like to travel. We all like to hug and be social. And that took it put us all in isolation and took that away. And I think that's another important thing is to identify early on how you really feel internally. Are you okay? Are you happy? Mm-hmm.
Good point. Very good. Dr. Schmidt, I want to ask you kind of the same question because, again, I know this has just been a year. I don't know how else to describe it. but what have you experienced in your work at Urgent Care? And I think this hit your family, too.
So we have been very fierce in the urgent care about our patients' health and our health of our colleagues in the urgent care and the health of our families that we go home to. And so it has been a year. It's been a very stressful year since this has come out. And if I could just show a picture of the gear that we were wearing, I'm sure everybody has seen those, but it's hot gear, and
right.
to be under it for 12 hours with a mask on, and you know, I don't think any of us have gotten the sores on our nose because we're not in the hospital, but that was real. We have a lot of stress-related worry about taking this home to our families, and a lot of stress related to, I don't want to give it to my colleagues. What if I get sick and I'm not able to be at work to help the patients that are coming in? Because there at the beginning, we were inundated. And there are still some days that we see quite a bit of COVID-related patients. And our clinic is unique in the sense that we see everybody outside. Mm-hmm. We have a carport built so that we take keeping people safe very seriously, so much so that we put our comforts as a second. So we gown up, we put on clothes, we put on masks, we put on our N95s. Most of us wear gloves. We go out for 12 hours and see patients outside.
90 degrees.
Under a metal carport where it is really hot. And so we're sweating and we have fans and the air's on full blast when we go back in. But we do that so that we can keep patients who are not concerning for COVID that we've screened, who can go inside and see a provider face-to-face without all that gear and feel a little bit more normal. But the stressors were pretty phenomenal. And even now, I would still say there's a lot of stress because there is so much fear, masking versus unmasked, vaccinated versus unvaccinated. And vaccinated, I absolutely recommend it. If you've not been vaccinated, think about it. Do it. It is really a fantastic thing. I'll just share a quick story from my household.
Sure, of course.
I have a very large household, and some kids live at home. Some kids are in college. But we had COVID visit us about a month to 2 months ago. And I was able, being vaccinated, to sleep next to my husband, who is not vaccinated. He had COVID, and he had symptoms for 14 days with fever. I didn't get COVID. My daughter, who is two daughters in college in Las Cruces, one was very sick. They traveled in the car for 6 hours. The one who was vaccinated did not get it.
Wow.
It just speaks to how well vaccination really works. And out of our household, six got it and six didn't. And so if you are at all on the fence about vaccinating, do it. 99.9% of people that are vaccinated are not going to the hospital and have very few symptoms, and there's certainly no deaths.
Very effective.
There are some deaths,
vaccines.
But very effective,
yes,
overall.
True. And as we always say here, and I think it's just important to repeat, if you have a question about the vaccine for your particular health, whatever health conditions you have, talk to your doctor. Talk
Absolutely.
To your personal family care physician. They're the ones that know you, know your health, and know what perhaps the problems might be, either from the vaccine or probably more specifically, if you were to get COVID, what that could do to your health and your health conditions and how much risk you are maybe of getting really sick if you don't have that protection of the vaccine. And that's all I say about it. But just tell people, talk to their doctor.
Absolutely. Talking to your doctor is so important. And as you said, having the vaccine may come with some side effects. Usually they're very brief. And altogether, your experience with COVID, if you have the vaccine or symptoms from it, is going to be so much more minor compared to if you straight out get COVID. Just the long-term lasting effects of COVID are pretty scary for those who get them. We call them the long-haul COVID patients, and they're sick, and they are seeing symptoms 6 to 9 months out, affecting their heart, affecting fatigue, affecting loss of taste and smell for 6 months. I mean, these people are really affected, and if a vaccine can prevent that, why wouldn't you?
Right. I think that's good advice. But again, if folks have a personal reason, sure, talk to their doctors. But we've seen it. Millions and millions of doses have gone out, and very few negative effects.
Correct. Very thankful for it in my house.
Yes. There you go. Well, like I said, it's been a year for both of you, and I think all the community appreciates the work of our healthcare providers and the work that you have all done. I'm sure there were very long days. We remember when the hospital was just almost overwhelmed, mm-hmm, and I know they were trying very hard to keep numbers manageable and things like that. But even today at urgent care, I think folks are still showing up COVID positive.
Yes, they are, and we test. I want to put a plug in here for testing appropriately, mm-hmm, because oftentimes parents or people from work will come in and say, I need a test, I was exposed today. And there is a measure of education where the best timing of the test isn't always on the first or second day. It's actually around day 4 to 5. And so sometimes I turn people away after I see them and say, I'm going to take care of you, but your best testing day is going to be at days 4 and 5 from the onset of their symptoms. And so instead of testing them in the urgent care, I will give them information to go to McKee Park where they can get that PCR test, which is going to be most accurate around day 4 or 5.
Gotcha.
And so oftentimes patients get a little frustrated because they don't understand why we can't have that right now. But it just takes a while for the virus to percolate in their system, if you will, so that those levels can be detected. And in fact, case in point, my husband was very sick with COVID. I knew that he had it because my daughter was positive and his test was not. They both got tested on the same day. His days of symptoms was one day behind my daughter, and he just required a repeat test in 3 days, and then it was positive. We knew he had coronavirus, but we had to wait until it tested positive so that we could refer him to the monoclonal antibody infusion, and that's being done through the COVID to home. And if somebody has risk factors like diabetes or blood pressure, heart disease, lung problems like asthma, COPD, those patients, if we can get them to get that monoclonal antibody within a first week to 10 days, we can significantly reduce their poor outcomes by decreasing their hospitalization rates, decreasing their risk for death, decreasing their risk for ventilation. It's completely an amazing thing that our hospital offers in this community. It's,
right,
it's phenomenal. And so but the key is the right day of testing, so that we can get these patients who we need to identify. And any of the San Juan Health partners or physicians in the community can refer for this monoclonal antibody. Pretty amazing.
And that's one of the treatments that's been proven effective, as you've mentioned.
Absolutely proven effective.
And keeps people from getting really, really, really sick with COVID-19.
The only thing is that it can't be used if they're on oxygen.
Gotcha.
Or if they're outside that, like, 10-day window.
Right.
So,
but I guess, and I can understand maybe the frustration of folks, because we really think that physicians and nurses can do magic and do it immediately. And we're in this microwave, we want it now, we want it, you know, just give me a pill and make me feel better kind of a thing. And so I'd have to wait for that more accurate test. And I think that's what it is, right? It gives,
right,
you the more accurate results instead of a false negative or what,
correct,
what have you. And of course, if you have something as serious as COVID, I know that would make me a little concerning, and to wait a couple of days, you know,
it's
to know for sure, you're just, you're, yeah, you,
yeah,
need to wait. But that's That's how it goes.
Well,
at
and
the moment,
I think that getting that early test, which people would like, gives them a false sense of security that they don't really have it.
Right.
So they see a negative test, but they still have symptoms. And so my encouragement is you still have to quarantine. You still need to isolate. You still need to be home because you have all the symptoms of COVID. We're just waiting for that test to become positive. And so
sure.
That is not a message a lot of people like to hear.
Right.
But well, so important for them to understand.
And this virus is so contagious that that's the reason behind the quarantine, so
exactly.
that you don't keep spreading it around. And anyway, we've heard this before, but it's worth repeating. Because we're not out of this. And as you both said, I think we're learning to manage it, but I don't know if COVID is ever going to go away. It may be one of those things we live with every year like the flu. Is what I'm thinking. So anyway, we are almost out of time this morning for both of you, but I really appreciate you both coming in. Monica Nagahiro, can I ask you to just give us the nitty-gritty details about San Juan Health Partners Urgent Care? You are open when to when?
We are open from 9 o'clock in the morning until 8:30 at night, 7 days a week, holidays, weekends. We're there for you. Give us a call or come on in and we'll take care of your whatever ails you.
All right.
8 p.m.
Oh, 8 p.m. I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Good to know. Very important. But all those minor, almost emergency types of things, but not quite, we can come see you.
Absolutely. Come see us. We love you.
That's the idea. Very good. Dr. Schmidt, thank you for coming in this morning. Monica Dunger here. Always great to see you. Thank you for coming back.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate it.
Stay well, both of you. We appreciate the work that you do. My guest this morning here with me on KSJE. Back with more in just a moment, everyone. The time right now is 8:40 a.m. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.